Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Fire?
How you doing, Stanky Leg?
What's up, man?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox. Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb,
bomb, bomb. No Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Long dick, well, yeah.
Hey, you fired up?
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone, from Adolfo, the Touch and Rich Show. I just want to say to all a happy Thanksgiving. Hope you're eating well with your family and thankful for this Thanksgiving Day. What I'm thankful for is that every year I get to eat a turkey and mashed potatoes and stuffing and pumpkin pie and maybe some eggnog. A little early, I know. Yams. Oh, rolls. Can't forget about the rolls from Pillsbury. Yeah. And, And I'm also thankful for my family. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone!
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. We're in the Town Fair Tire Studios. And the number here is 617-779-0985. I put out a one final Hail Mary to Pauly D, DJ Pauly Del Vecchio, who's from the Providence area. And it's fallen on deaf ears.
Yeah, I was told he does not do interviews. And that is something that I guess you can try to Google Pauly D radio interviews, and I guess he doesn't really do anything. So I'm not quite sure where he... I know he's doing this show tonight at the Grand.
Let's not promote it.
Oh, okay.
Because it was not sold out, and I think it does not deserve promotion without... It's not a place I'm going to go. So it doesn't deserve the promotion. I mean, if you can't produce DJ Pauly Del Vecchio, I don't really know what the point is. But I heard it was not sold out, so nuts to you, DJ Pauly Del Vecchio.
So you reached out to him?
Well, through Instagram. I tried to do my best. Tried to get him, all riled up to do the show. But it didn't work.
Does he respond to people usually?
Apparently on Twitter he does, but unfortunately I don't have access to my Twitter.
Well, let me see. Let me see if I can find him and see what the deal is here.
It's DJ Pauly D.
At DJ Pauly D. All right. So, I mean, this is... let's see. Now, this might be... Obviously, he might still be in Rhode Island this morning, but then again, how tough is it? You know, how long is it to get up here?
You got 4 hours.
I don't see him responding to a lot of people.
Well, that's what I was told. Oh, boy. Another disappointment.
However, I'll tweet the guy. I'll tweet him, and I'll say, hey, you have an open seat this morning. We can get you in here at any point you want to show up.
I got to know soon because...
Because we're off in 4 hours. I mean,
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And I got to tell my kids that they can come in.
Okay. No.
People are like, he's a terrible role model because of my daughter, who's obsessed with Jersey Shore. She's 8. She goes, oh, yeah, Cab's here. And she said that. And people were like, oh, he's a horrible influence. I said, what are you talking about? He gets it in almost every time.
All right. Hey, DJ Pauly D, what would you like me to put, Fred?
Don't be an ass. Come on.
Just don't be an ass. Come on. No explanation.
That's it. Sold.
Hey, DJ Pauly D,
don't be an ass.
Don't be an ass.
Everyone loves you, and I'm no exception. We want to highlight your DJing skills. You can even bring in your Italian-themed DJ turntables.
Okay.
And that we would, and that Fred's kids would love to meet you. They could, in fact, handle the interview. And then after that, you know, maybe hugs.
after that, maybe hugs.
Yeah.
Okay. I will send that right now.
All right.
And like, if anyone knows this
guy,
what does
he have, like, 7 million followers?
3.9.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has a ton, of course.
He was on Ellen one time, and she poured water all over his head, and his hair did not move.
Hmm.
He had the blowout, you know? Oh, yeah. Cab's here. Oh, yeah. T-shirt time. These are things that he says. And then, like, give me a city, Wallach.
Nashville.
Oh, yeah. I love Nashville this time of year. Is what he would say.
Ah.
And then he would, he got it in, and then he would start DJing, and everyone, oh, yeah, Pauly D.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel great. I got about a bunch of heartburn and a sore throat.
Oh.
Not enough to bail out today.
Sure. Mm-hmm. But it was a thought that crossed your mind.
It was too late. I'd already gotten up.
Ah.
So you have to make that move around two. So, I'm just enough to be uncomfortable, but not enough to miss the show. It's a wicked slope.
Yeah. No, the heartburn is a problem. My wife used to have that. It would wake her up and keep her up. Yes. She changed her diet, and that seemed to work.
Because last night it was Buffs. Last night it was, help.
I'm insanely jealous.
Yeah.
I am.
I didn't have Buffs in months.
Man.
Right, by the way, if you want this to be effective, I just want to send out the tweet. Hey, at DJ Pauly D, everyone on our show loves you. We want to highlight your DJing skills. Fred's kids would love to meet you. Come on the number one morning show in Boston and promote your upcoming shows. Then after that, maybe hugs. We're off air at 10 a.m. Let's do this. All right. So the way that these are usually the most effective is if we get our listeners on this. So at DJ Pauly D, if you want to make dreams come true, that being the dreams of Fred's kids, make sure you tweet him at DJ Pauly D and let him know that we want him on the show this morning. This morning at DJ Pauly D. Now, there is a chance, Fred, from what I've been told, this isn't the only show he's doing. There's another one that's like around the area later on. So if he's here tonight doing a show, maybe there's a possibility he comes in tomorrow to promote the other show.
Oh.
You see what I mean? So if like he can't make it here by 10 a.m., there's still a chance because, I mean, if he's performing here tonight late into the evening, they've got to be giving him a hotel room. So he's going to be right here in the area, probably a mile away from us.
He's probably staying in Dorchester.
Well, I mean, I'm sure.
In one of the fine hotels.
So I would think that even if we can't get him this morning, if we have enough of our listeners, tweet him at DJ Pauly D, then there's a chance we may be able to get him tomorrow. That's just me thinking.
Have you been told that by someone?
No. All I know is that this isn't the only show he's promoting.
Oh, boy.
There's a second one that's right around the corner that's in the basic area. In the New England area.
Well, that is exciting.
So it is not a lost cause if he can't get here by 10.
All right. Well, I like the sound of that.
Let's see that. Come on. All I know is that the TNR listeners, we've seen how merciless they can be over the past couple of weeks, not only with College Game Day, but with certain phone calls that have been made to every single station in the market, including nationally. So at DJ Pauly D.
So at 8 o'clock, I've been told that there was, is there more than
just,
what?
Just know that we have like a stockpile, but a listener made the impossible possible.
Oh, Sarge Cycle.
We don't know that. I'm not going to. This is a big market tease.
Well, I was out there on social media. I mean, I was told Sarge Cycle.
Well, maybe. We'll find out at 8 o'clock.
So we have a bevy of Sarge calls?
Yep. He was everywhere.
Jeez. That's amazing.
Was it all, what's his face from Vegas?
John in Vegas? Maybe he didn't always go by the name John in Vegas?
Do you go, Rod?
So he called. That's the best. So he'd call. And then, because no one else was taking, he'd circle back and call the same show as somebody else.
The shard cycle I heard about is not the most overly impressive thing in the world.
Now, just to explain to people what the shard cycle is, shard cycle would be what seems nearly impossible, and that would be to call the same show and have three of their calls in a row end with a Sarge sucks. And is that achievable? It doesn't seem like it. However, at 8 o'clock, maybe we explore that phenomenon and see what might have happened. But
617-779-0985. What do you think this name is calling from Vegas there? Zoe, you see that? How would you say that? N-O-J.
Nodge. Another Nodger.
Or No-J.
RJ?
I don't know.
I think it's RJ.
I don't know. Who is this in Vegas?
It's Naj. Naj,
what's up?
Not much. Rough game yesterday. I just wanted to talk to you guys about how much Mike Sarge Riley sucks in the radio.
Oh, God.
It's one.
All right, go. We got it out of
the way. Doesn't take much to get by the intern. Just spell your name backwards. Get right by him.
Oh, it's John backwards. Yes.
Good job, kid. Scott is in Maine. What's up, Scott?
I mean, it's just it's perfect.
Zolak is the best.
He really is.
Yeah, he loves it. That's right. It's John backwards. Oh. Of course it is.
It took me. I didn't even know what was going on until he said it.
Yeah. All I know is that our listeners are already on it. And
making all the girls' panties drop.
That's right. DJ Pauly D seems to be doing that. Our listeners are already tweeting him.
Good.
Yep.
Get on it.
Think of the children, Pauly.
There is a window that's closing here.
That's right.
There is a window that's closing. All right, Rich, what do we have going on? What are we gonna discuss here?
Bruins. They're in a bad place right now when it comes to injuries. Also, we've got some news as far as the Red Sox offseason signing. They have made one. One piece has been re-signed. We will get to that. Also, stuff that happened. The ultimate in controversy in sports, Fred. There is a clip that we have to play you.
All right. I would love to hear it. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night? 98.5 Sports Hub with Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last evening?
Well, what happened last night is brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. New handcrafted espresso drinks from Dunkin' are amazing. Sipping is believing. Get any medium latte or cappuccino for just $2. America runs on Dunkin'. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. So to say the Bruins have injury problems is like saying Mark Gemelli kind of likes meatballs.
Well, Bergeron just went into the boards. Ockley, he's hurt.
And Marchand drops the gloves immediately and tackles one of the stars.
Bergeron is in a lot of pain, trying to make his way to the Bruins bench. He's not even going to the bench. He's going down to the locker room.
He was hit by Radek Foxa.
Yeah, Foxa really didn't. If anything, he kind of interfered with Bergeron, but it wasn't a malicious hit. But Bergeron got, he was going down, and it looked like left shoulder into the boards, and it did not look good. And Marchand immediately dropping the gloves and going after Foxa.
Yeah, it is one thing to have six of your defensemen, including Zdeno Chara, out of commission, but when you lose Patrice Bergeron, you've essentially had the heart ripped out of your team. So after being driven to the boards against Dallas, as you heard right there, the Bruins released a statement that Patrice would be traveling back to Boston mid-road trip to be reevaluated by team doctors. Now, as far as Zdeno Chara, the Bruins stated that he will be out for at least 4 weeks due to that injury in his left MCL after Wednesday's game against Colorado. He will then be reevaluated at that time. In the meantime, they've had players step up from the most unexpected places.
Pasternak still leading the league with 17 goals. Wraparound attempt. Bounces out in front. They score! Jacob Forsbacka Carlson puts his first career National Hockey League tally. He does it from the doorstep, and he slams it inside the far post. And the Bruins out to a 1-0 lead in the desert.
It has been a group effort. Guys like, of course, Mr. JFK, as you heard right there. But Jeremy Lauzon, partially responsible for three of the points notched the last two games against the Stars and the Coyotes. He's been filling in next to Matt Grizzlick on the blue line. It's kind of like a who's who of who are these guys. But they're somehow, at least the past two games, been making it work. So hopefully we should hear something regarding Patrice by the end of the day. Let's hope for the best. But, I mean, when you have a guy like Patrice and obviously Zdeno Chara, two of the tougher players in this team, have to come home in the middle of a road trip, it's never a good thing.
Well, they're down to one regular defenseman. So, all right, so McAvoy's skating.
Mm-hmm.
Miller's skating.
I think Carlo is skating, too.
Okay, Carlos skating.
I believe Carlos skating, but none of these guys are ready.
All right, so you have McAvoy, Carlo,
Miller, Krug.
No, Krug's playing. Krug.
No, I'm talking about when they're coming back. Like, here's the guys that you have that are going to be able to play.
No, but I'm talking about who's out.
Yeah, okay, so who's out? Oh,
yeah. And then, Carlo, McAvoy,
Chara.
Miller.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And there's one more.
Yeah, there is. And I forget who it is.
And I can't think. Moore.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, of course.
So you're missing five defensemen.
Yep. Krug is the only guy, and he's not still full strength. I mean, he was out for a while. He's still finding. Bruce Cassidy said himself last week, Krug's still finding his game. So the one guy who's supposed to get heavy minutes is not 100%. Not really. No, they're in big trouble. And I don't know how you guys feel about this, but it just seems that teams are feeling free to take runs at the Bruins.
Yeah.
At their better players. And I understand that, and we've discussed it many times on the program, that the old days of fourth liners being, you know, sandpaper guys and, you know, tough guys and fighting guys is gone. And I think it was the Blackhawks that started this. Cheap, young, fast talent will be your checking line. And I think a lot of the NHL has kind of moved in that direction. But it seems that the Bruins need a guy, whether it be Sean Thornton or a guy that is willing to go to protect some of these players.
Well, that'd be Miller if he was healthy.
Yeah. So that's part of it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it seems to be happening with more regularity these days. And Fascia did take a run at Bergeron. He did. And there was no – Marchand has to step up. Great. What if Marchand breaks his hands?
Yeah.
Breaks his hand, you know, trying to fight to defend his line mate. Then where are you? I mean, it can't be Marchand. It can't be Chara. It has to be somebody else. And right now the Bruins don't have a guy like that.
Well, the Bruins don't have anybody.
I understand. I know, but even before this rash of injuries, right. They were having trouble with this.
Yeah. You need an on-ice police.
Yes.
So has one of the online docs spoken up about Patrice's injury? Have they speculated?
Have you seen
what Doc Flynn has to say?
I've not seen that.
I've not seen what Somebody check their Twitter account.
Yes.
I have breaking news. It's upper body.
Well, there you go.
That's what we were hearing.
Yeah.
Upper body and nothing else. So we will obviously have any news. Today is the day you're supposed to be able. We're supposed to find out something.
Yep.
On Patrice today. So obviously, if we hear anything this morning, we will let you know. And it also looks like the Sox are getting their World Series MVP back, ladies and gentlemen.
Here sits one in the air to left center field. Back at the wall, there will be no zero. Pierce has got another. 2-0 Boston in the first.
Well, Steve Pierce, who was all set to be a free agent, quickly jumped right back where he was by signing a one-year, $6.25 million deal to return to the Red Sox, and something that seemed all too easy. Not so easy, however, for the Red Sox is going to be an attempt to re-sign Nathan Eovaldi, who, according to reports, is drawing interest from as many as 9 teams right now. The potential suitors are the Bruins, Phillies, Brewers. White Sox. Oh, sorry, did I say Brewers? Yeah. Phillies, White Sox, Braves, Angels, Blue Jays, Giants, and Padres, along with the Red Sox. So that's now he stated that he'd like to stay here. However,
well, of course,
many of those teams can and will attempt to outbid what the Sox have to offer, and I'm sure a lot of it too is where you find out the money's going to go regarding Joe Kelly. And
I would love to see the length of the contracts that are offered.
Yeah, especially for a guy.
I would love to see that. Now, if some team comes
Tommy
in.
Two-time Tommy John guy.
Yeah, and obviously what he did in the extra inning game of the World Series earned him a lot of money. But the other part of it is, if you're a team and you need a pitcher, can you really look at yourself in the mirror and offer 3 or 4 years to this guy, considering his injury history and how much he was used in the postseason and how he was used in the postseason? I don't think you can. I mean, if you offer anything more than 2 and an option, you're kidding yourself.
Well, someone's going to.
$20 million pitchers on staff already.
And that's the other thing. You're going to have to do something with Chris Sale. If you have any intention of re-signing Chris Sale, the Eovaldi contract matters. It does. If you offer him huge money, that might limit your ability. I understand the budget is large, but there is a line somewhere.
Well, $420 million pitchers is an awful lot to hang on to.
It is. And Porcello's going to be up soon. I mean, you Porcello's contract has 1 year left.
You want Porcello or do you want Eovaldi?
I want Porcello.
Yeah. So there you go. You've answered your own question.
Yep.
Yeah, but when you have that many teams trying to sign this guy.
Rich is right. If you have that many teams, there's going to be one team that just goes above and beyond because they absolutely positively need a pitcher and they need to sell it to their fans. So, yeah, someone's going to offer him 3 years.
So, if he's gone, what are you doing with Joe Kelly? You've got some. I mean, obviously, we all agree that Craig Kimbrell is not. You don't want to re-sign him. But what do you do with
the word on Joe Kelly is that if he will be the highest priced eighth inning pitcher in baseball, I still don't take it off the table that he wants to be a starter.
I'm sure he does. I'm sure he wants to be a starter. The question is there a team out there that's willing to foot the bill to pay him like one for multiple years, considering how up and down he was this past year?
Yeah, but that's a reliever. And then also you hear GM saying, well, I'm not overly concerned about a reliever having two bad months because that's just what happens. So, I mean, I think if you're a starter, you can, I think starting in some ways, you could be more consistent. You understand what I'm saying? Than if you're coming in for an inning and you don't know when it's going to be, like, there's a routine to being a starter. So we'll see. We shall see. Joe Kelly, baby. It's going to be hot stuff, but they're going to have to pay a lot of money for him, too.
Mm-hmm. What's the market right now for Craig Kimbrell? You're hearing teams that have reached out for, or, like, at least concerned or interested in signing him.
I heard Atlanta, but only for the right price to bring him back.
Cubs, yep,
always
I've heard
need
that
a closer.
Yep.
So, yeah, no, they'll be a team that is going to pay him 4 years for, what, $15 million? I mean, there's going to be some team that comes in with a blowaway offer.
Yeah,
but it's not going to be the Red Sox.
The Cubs are these all. Do you know they talked about trading Chris Bryant? They've talked about trading the fat guy that hit the big home run that they put
Schwarber.
In. Schwarber. That, and Schwarber for not much.
Well, no, Schwarber, if you look, I mean, he's good. He strikes out a ton, hits about 210, and is good for 25, 30 homers because he can't play full time.
But remember, this Cubs team was supposed to be this juggernaut that was going to be around for 10 years,
mm-hmm.
and now it's folding in upon itself. I mean, if you're trading Chris Bryant, I mean, he was supposed to be the next. He's supposed to be Mike Schmidt out there. And if you're willing to trade him when he's this young, poor management.
So the team's got to go internally, find a closer. Who you thinking? Brazier? You think maybe him?
I think right now he's the
he's leader. The front runner.
He's the leader in the clubhouse. I mean, you're not busting for options. If Kelly is not on the table to be the closer, and he's got more experience than Brazier, and that's why I would give him the first shot if he were to come back. But, you know, it's either Brazier or Matt Barnes. Which one you taking?
I mean, listen, just from the little bit I've seen of Brazier, he seems like he might be the right choice. But, I mean, you're a stat guy.
Well, Brazier throws hard.
Yes, he does.
And Kelly throws harder. So
that's what he's saying. If Kelly's off the table.
Well, all right. Rich, what do we have coming up?
All right. Well, we got to get to it. There has been a massive controversy in the world of darts and something that rhymes with darts.
I'm actually very well versed in what's going on here.
I am not. I can't wait to hear this.
Okay, all right.
Darts. It could be any one of numerous things. Not great athletes.
No,
but,
usually not good diets either.
No, so we will have that information for you in just a moment.
98.5 Sports Hub.
.985 Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Now, darts is a sport where Jockey Wilson, who's perhaps one of the most famous players of darts in the world, he would drink 10 vodkas before he played. Then he would drink 4 or 5 pints of lager, and then fatally, what he called the magic Coke. He would take off the top liter bottle of Coke and then top it off with a half liter of vodka. And that's how he was known to fall off stage. He was also a 2-time champion. And
more ways than one.
He lost his teeth because he says his grandmother told him that the English poisoned the water. So he did not brush his teeth for decades. And he had lost his teeth. So darts is not you know, Olympic sprinting.
No, and it definitely doesn't give people the it doesn't breed people with the best diets as well. And you know what? Let's just leave it to the New York Post to write the best opening lines to an article regarding the situation, because we have a controversy here. The title of the article, Something Doesn't Smell Right. Farting Controversy Clouds Dart Championship. Two pro dart players have accused each other of farting on stage during a match in England this week, casting a cloud of controversy over the heralded tournament. Quote, it'll take me two nights to lose this smell from my nose. Dutch player Wesley Harms fumed after getting blown away 10-2 by Scotland's Gary Anderson at the Grand Slam of Darts in Wolfhampton.
All right.
By the way, Wolfhampton sounds like a fake English town.
Yeah.
They said Harms chalked up his foul play to a fragrant smell, which he deduced came from the Scotsman's bowels. But Anderson, who has admitted to passing gas during matches in the past, insisted he was innocent of this olfactory offense. So let's go ahead and get to the post-game press conference between these two gentlemen. And this is an interview with the man who has admitted before that he has farted on stage. Take it away. You have it right here, Fred.
All right. Here we go.
Just spoke to Wesley. And besides that, he said you were a class player and you let him alive in the first session. He said that it was smelly on the stage.
I thought he had
Sorry?
I thought Wesley had farted on stage. Yeah. Did he?
No. I think he thinks you did it.
Okay. So now we have the famous case of whoever smelled the Delta.
Yeah, that's right.
He ups the ante, says he thinks that he crapped himself.
Yeah, right. He just said he went straight from it smelled bad to this guy made a duty.
Yeah. I mean, this is, you know, there's tactics. There's one guy who comes out who won. And says, oh no, who lost? And he says, hey, this guy was farting a lot.
Yeah.
And then this guy jumps out and starts accusing him of not controlling his bowels.
Yeah. And as we say, he who denied it supplied it.
Well, that's basically what he's resting his laurels on, is that old fashioned thing. And you know, that's going to be hard to convince the modern day judges. I mean, we've seen the Supreme Court rule on who smelt it versus who dealt it.
They're interviewing these guys. You farted. No, you farted, no, sir.
I fart too much.
Yeah. That's a problem.
Just spoke to Wesley, and besides that, he said you were a class player, and you let him alive in the first session. He said that it was smelly on the stage.
I thought he had
Sorry?
I thought Wesley had farted on stage. Yeah. Did he?
No. I think he thinks you did it.
You can put your finger up the arse, there'll be no smell there. I thought he had shit, and I went, that's dirty. It was bad.
It was bad.
It was bad. It was a stink. I thought it was him.
So again, up the ante.
Yeah.
He thought he was playing with a loaded. Because how many times have professional dart competitions gone to the man who crapped his pants?
These guys just look like they do it too. Look at the two of them, just like, well, yeah, it makes sense.
In all honesty, I don't know how it is now, but there's been scientific studies that you play darts better drunk.
Okay.
Like, John Hopkins has a story that I got way into this, fell down the rabbit hole. And so it used to be like these guys would drink a lot, believing that it made them better players.
And they started playing better, but must have needed to get some wind out.
And he thought it was you.
Oh, no. Hands up. Swear on my kid's life. So help me God. Nothing crossed.
But it was smelly anyway.
It was smelly. Usually if I fart on stage, I shit myself. Do you know that? Because I've told...
Very little bowel control.
Imagine that. You can't pass gas without there actually being product.
Usually, you know, when I fart, I've... spray my underwear. You know that.
Sure.
Exhibit A.
I've told you this before.
My underwear is relatively clean. I've told you that before. The last fart controversy.
Right. I love how it's just kind of like, no one's like outraged or like turned up by this. It's like, this is just like a normal question.
Yeah.
It's almost like, tell us about the foul you didn't think you received in the NBA. It's like, oh yeah.
Well, other sports, you don't hear about the farts. Because I imagine bowling's a very similar situation.
Stage is always warm.
Yeah.
But it was smelly anyway.
It was smelly. Usually if I fart on stage, I shit myself. And you know that, because I've told you in a documentary, ain't scared to... If I'd farted that smelled like that, I'd put my hands up and go, oh, sorry, I need to get off.
So who was it then?
I mean, he has a history of everything being on the table. He's told him in the documentary, hey, I crap myself.
It's a documentary I want to see.
Yeah, it's in England. It's just...
Where do I find this?
It's called Whoops, I Crapped Myself. And it's people, you know, they had the cast of Monty Python talking about how they had crapped themselves in the life of whatever the hell the name of the movie was.
Life of Brian.
Yeah, they had Elizabeth Hurley talking about... when she found out that Hugh Grant had cheated on her with a prostitute, that she pooed.
And they had Nancy Grace talking about her time on Dancing with the Stars.
They were smiling so big.
Again, Nancy Grace's fart is the best fart in television history, and I'll tell you why.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this.
She did Dancing with the Stars to repair, like, get her image, like, so people didn't hate her so much. So she, it was like Carrie. So she got all dolled up, danced, was in hog heaven, and then, like, was talking and feeling good, and everyone loved her. And then her body just
They were
went.
Smiling so big.
Then her body. And then that was a big thing where she said she didn't fart.
And her partner and her partner made like cross eyes like.
Oh, because you know that happened a lot during rehearsals.
Oh, sure.
She was in that dress and all that makeup and smiling. And then they go, not so fast. How could you fart that loud?
I mean, for the mics to pick it up like that, I don't know where they had that placed. On the back of her dress? Or was that just that echoey?
Go ahead. Play it one more time.
All right. Here it is right here. Nancy, take it away. Let's see what you got.
They were smiling so big.
Whop. Like, that actually said a word.
Because she's stuffed in that dress. And her face just turns into... All right, we continue.
Well, don't tell me. You've got enough three boys up there. And it was eggs. Rotten egg. Not for me. No.
Now, you know my farts smell like burnt matches. So... I'm not a rotten egg guy.
Right. There's different aromas for different players.
Right. And I mean, just read his bio.
No.
Okay, thank you.
And every time we walked past, it was a waft of rotten eggs. So that's why I was thinking it was some.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We have a caller on line one who I think needs to do... He's done a little research.
All right, JD, go ahead, sir.
Hey, guys, hey.
Hey.
This story is beautiful. Hey, I wanted to ask you, is Michel Therrien, is he coaching English dart teams now?
Listen, he might be.
Certainly on eBay
right, what?
Buying whoever did that.
Michel, what is the key to winning in darts?
Crap.
Again, he sounds like a super villain fecophiliac.
Crap.
Like Dr. Pooh. Like, Dr. Pooh! What are you searching for exactly? Why are we in this war?
Crap.
He's like Scrooge McDuck, except instead of coins.
No, he's called crap crazy. I mean, he sounds...
He's a collector.
Like, yeah, like, all he wants is crap. Like, yeah. He's talking.
Got it. Crap.
James Bond comes into his office. He sees, like, you know,
poo onto the glass. Here's one from an ostrich.
No, he just he's taking nitrous like Hopper in the Lynch movie.
Crap.
I heard he just hired an evil sidekick too.
Oh, yeah.
Bob Wiley of the Cleveland Browns. Coach,
be careful up there because it smells like rotten egg. Egg. I had some hot dogs and then a crab. So,
crap.
Hey, everybody, it's not my fault. Big brown growler and he got him underwear.
Crap.
Eggs. Chalk. And here we go. I made a mess. Hey, dark guys, I'm sorry I was sitting in the front row. And then I said, and she's gonna blow.
The biggest
pet peeve
that I have is...
You're playing darts, I'm taking a... You're playing darts, I'm taking a... Boom.
The biggest pet peeve that I have is...
In my underwear. You know, one time I was trying to admit defeat by raising a white towel.
Oh, jeez.
They were like, what's brown mean?
Oh, jeez.
It's hard for me to wipe.
They were smiling so big.
Oh, God.
Hey, what you gonna do?
Was that just a...
Huh?
Did you just do an echo?
What?
Okay, sorry. I just... maybe you were inspired by Nancy Grace.
Who, what?
Yeah, well, I mean, that would be the... maybe what you just pulled off right there.
Sometimes they take a little while to, you know, smoke faster than noise. So sometimes we'll be like, what's that smell? What's that smell? Then...
Send this to Marconi's.
Yep. That was a whole break on farting.
Well, we haven't played Gary Tangways yet, though.
It's time for Get a Gary. Hashtag, I'm really horny. Hashtag, nude selfies. Hashtag, I'm staring at your breasts. Hey, I just wrote a new screenplay.
Hey, it's Thanksgiving week.
Hey, fatso.
Yeah. Hey, Tangway, I like what you did.
Hashtag, I'm staring at your breasts.
Jeez. These next couple days are really good. Really nice. All right, we'll be right back.
Toucher and Rich.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what else is going on?
So this was something that went viral this past weekend. Harvard and Yale. By the way, did Dan Roach get to go to this? Did he get to go to the game? I know he's like a big, huge fan of these games, huh?
Well, no, he was on his bucket list.
And he wanted to see it at Harvard, but this one was at Fenway. So I guess it was a little bit different. Well, Burr, did you work this game?
He did. And considering that it's on Roach's bucket list, and he works within walking distance of Harvard Stadium, it was always fascinating.
It is strange. So they faced off Harvard and Yale at Fenway Park on Saturday. Now, the game was tied 27-27 in the fourth quarter when Devin Darrington from Harvard got the ball. He scored a touchdown, but immediately afterwards, it was canceled due to a penalty because Darrington was called for unsportsmanlike conduct, and this happened.
Unsportsmanlike conduct.
Oh my.
Number 36 on the offense. Taunting. 15-yard penalty from the spot of the foul. First down.
No touchdown. Wipe it off the board.
Kurt!
Wow.
A
another one for the books. And take a look at Devin Darrington as he goes into the end zone. An absolute lapse in judgment, to say the least.
So they wouldn't say what happened, but looking at the video, it looked like Darrington straight up flipped the bird at the defender as he was running at him.
See, I saw that he was running
into the end zone.
I saw that. I'm like, he's not giving him the middle finger.
Okay, well, now there has been tons of research, and people have like broken this video down like the Zapruder film, and the video went viral, and the obviously the referee thought he was flipping him the middle finger. But there is a photo that was released yesterday from the Harvard Crimson, one of the Harvard photographers, and it is very clearly not his middle finger, but his index finger. He's just pointing it, you know, like number one as he's running into the end zone. So they had a touchdown taken away because he ended up putting up his pointer finger the entire time. Now, Harvard ended up winning kind of soundly.
Yeah, they scored a couple of touchdowns right after that.
Right after that they did. But at the time, it was a tie game, and it was an important score that they took away. But, yeah, so we have now seen, and have you seen the photo yet? I mean, it's crystal clear.
Yeah.
That is indeed his pointer finger.
Yeah, even when I was watching the replay, I didn't think he flipped him off.
However, when I first saw that video, I thought it was awesome. I was like, I mean, that's amazing. Imagine being that dumb to be running. If that truly happened, where you're running the end zone and flipping the middle finger, like that, you go, all right, well, that's the kind of guy I want to see play.
How crowded was Fenway? Does anyone know?
That's a great question. Bird knows. Well, Bird was there.
Bird says it was like half full.
Decent crowd.
Didn't you have a bunch of like, wasn't there a hurling thing?
Hurling
there?
Yesterday.
That was just like.
Oh, God, man. I wish
we would have
had.
For you.
I wish we would have had someone down there. I mean, were there a bunch of angry drunk people?
Not really. No, it was pretty tame.
Probably 10 people there.
Yeah, it was about 7,000 people showed up.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's awesome.
No, the first 2 years was more than that.
Really? Oh, yeah. It was cold as hell. Who's playing who?
I have no idea. The name of the teams.
Okay.
Red and green jerseys. That's all I know.
Who's red versus green? It was a Christmas battle.
Yep. That's right. Just in time. All right. We will have the headlines, no commercials. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.